Welcome to Living Fullness, a podcast where you're invited to walk with two unusual friends through the ups and downs of the art of friendship. My name is Stina Constantine, and I'm joined by my long-standing friend, Father Sean Burns. And together, we explore what it takes to grow real, satisfying friendships, the joys and challenges we face along the way, and of course, becoming a good friend ourselves. We hope by sharing our learning and experiences, this podcast will serve you in living your life to the full. Welcome back to the second episode of Living Fullness, whether you're listening in through your earpiece, at home, in your car, or following through our YouTube channel. We're excited to kick off this second episode and really dive into content.
Yes. Friendship. Yes.
And so really what we want to do with this episode is have a chat about, you know, what friendship looks like in our culture, in our world today, and what the different types of friendship might look like. Because we are actually of the opinion that friendships aren't all the same. Mm. We think there are different levels of friendship, different intensities of friendship, and friendships grow in different ways as well. They don't sort of happen overnight.
No. No, that's right.
And there are certain things that are required within a relationship for it to really be considered a friendship as well, which we'll get into in later episodes.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess something I found really interesting when preparing for this episode was looking into a little bit of the research behind friendship. Mm-hmm. So we have, obviously we know that we as human beings benefit from being in relationship with other people. We know that that actually does impact our emotional and psychological well-being. That's a well-known concept, I think. But looking into the sort of nitty-gritty of some of that was really exciting. So one of the things that I found out was that there was this huge Harvard study that was done a while back with 80-year-old sort of men from this age range between 20 and 80, they found that the single best predictor of their health, so not just like their emotional health and their psychological health, but actually their physical health, wasn't about their, and this is at the point of being as an 80-year-old, it wasn't at what kind of wealth they'd accumulated, it wasn't about their professional lives, what kind of lives they'd led. It was actually about the depth of relationships they had formed at the age of 50.
Yeah.
Right? So these are men at the age of 80, but what actually mattered most for their health was their relationships at the age of 50.
Yeah, wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is really cool.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
But to think that friendships and relationships can have that kind of an impact on your physical health.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
That is really cool. Very cool. You can kind of tell.
Am I getting a little excited?
That Stina is a psychology graduate.
This is kind of the thing that gets me excited. along with that too, we know that when we spend time with people that we care about and with friends, most friends, kidding. I'm kidding.
I should have seen it coming.
We know that generally that does make us feel better. And if we are feeling generally better, then that is good for our mental health and well-being. Like, we know that. But again, another study that I found, and this was a longitudinal study, so it's a study that's done that follows people over the span of their life or over a certain period of their life. So this was a study that was done in Sweden. And over the 3 years, they found a correlation between having few or no close friends. These women were at a 50% increased risk of having a first-time heart attack. And of the women who lived beyond that three-year study, they found that they actually had lower blood pressure and diabetes. So, again, like, what is this?
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's like the mental emotional side of us that needs relationship in some way nourishes our physical lives.
Absolutely. It's all kind of interconnected. Like, we can't isolate them
That's really cool.
It's just, yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. Kind of really awesome.
Yeah.
So really, in a nutshell, what I'm trying to say here is that there is science to say that friendship does actually benefit our health and well-being overall as a whole.
Cool. So what kind of friendships are we seeing presently today in the West, let's put it that way.
Mm.
Sort of the Australia, New Zealand, America, UK, sort of those Western countries. What are we sort of seeing from in terms of friendship?
The sort of patterns, isn't there, of the types of friendships that we're starting to see.
Yeah.
And I think one of them might be the classic, you know, we're best friends forever.
Yeah. BFF.
Yeah.
We just met yesterday. The BFF. Yeah.
Which is cute, but there's more.
There's more to it.
There's more.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think of people who've sort of shared experiences. They've got shared experiences of youth retreats or concerts, and return and feel as though a bond has been really forged. And certainly as a youth chaplain, that's kind of one of the things that comes from a lot of youth retreats, is that people do meet there and they do form really strong bonds on the basis of this experience that they've had. And there's some positive things here. You know, I mean, it's a new potential friendship for a start. Mm. I mean, that's exciting.
That's exciting.
That's pretty awesome. And also with that comes the possibility that there is, that you've found somebody who is interested in the same stuff that you're interested in. Mm. And particularly when it comes to faith, that's a pretty big deal.
Mm.
But also for anything that you're interested in, like, you know, if you've gone to a concert and you've met somebody there who's as passionate about, you know, Bach or Metallica or whatever happens to be your interest, then it's really, it's really awesome. You know, you've kind of met a kindred spirit in a way. Mm. Yeah. Things to be aware of, though.
Mm. Definitely when it's something that, when it's that emotionally heightened, when we're that excited about, and you know, those experiences of going away and meeting someone that just clicks with you, and, you know, like you said, those shared interests, there's a great joy that comes from having met someone like that. And it's perfectly understandable why we would feel like, oh, well, this is the person that we need to be friends with for life, because they get this part of me. But I think that's just it. Like, it's a part of.
Yeah.
It's not the whole person just yet. Mm. So I guess one of the things to be aware of is just simply time, isn't it?
Yeah. Trust is one of those things that's built by proof.
Mm.
You know, it's time is an essential thing. And when we've got that, we've had that experience, whatever, particularly a religious experience. Perhaps I'm biased because I am a priest. A religious experience can often have a great deal of sort of profundity around it. It can be a very profound experience. And that intensity of experience that you've had with another person, or that you share with another person in some way, it can lead to a bit of a substitute for depth.
Mm-hmm.
Like the intensity of experience could be it can appear to be a very deep friendship, when in fact what the bond is really forged on is this profound experience, mm-hmm. which is perhaps leading us to a deeper friendship that isn't necessarily present yet.
Just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one too. That's definitely really good. I guess into what we were talking about in the last episode, allowing friendship to grow, like just giving it what it needs, time being one of those things.
Yeah.
But And that experience, like you said, might just be that one experience, but what other experiences are yet to come?
That's it. Yeah. And this is why Aristotle, who lived about 300 years before Christ, Aristotle says that wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship is a slow ripening fruit.
Mm.
I think that's in his Nicomachean Ethics, but don't quote me on that.
Okay.
So
I won't. I can't promise anybody else won't.
Somebody right now has just Googled Aristotle Nicomachean Ethics.
Yep, you have.
To see if it's in there. So wishing to be friends is quick work, but friendship is a slow ripening fruit. You know,
definitely.
It takes time to grow.
Mm.
And
definitely.
Yeah.
And I guess we do get, you know, we will get questions like, you know, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we jump straight in? You know, some people just click. And what's wrong with that?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, what's the big deal?
Definitely. Yep. And look, we all know couples who meet and know that they're going to be forever, together forever sort of thing. Like my parents are a good classic example of that. Mm. You know, they sort of just met and they were like, okay, let's go get married. And it's sort of, right. you know, while sometimes people just are like, yep, this works. It doesn't mean it should become the standard.
Mm.
You know, there are always exceptions to every rule.
Exactly right.
We shouldn't jump straight into assuming that the case that we have in front of us is the exception to that rule.
Mm.
We should always give preference to the idea that actually there's normally a process here.
Mm.
And I'd like to see this process, see this process through. See this, you know, for the sake of the relationship, for the sake of the friendship, for the sake of it growing as it's meant to grow.
It's like what you were saying before, you know, allowing it to prove for itself, you know, prove itself that it is, it is this friendship.
Exactly.
And it will show, like, if this is someone that that you do click with, it's going to be a lot easier to grow in friendship with that person. So it's not going to be a very difficult space to be in. Yet, if we enter into friendship with people thinking, oh, this is the friendship that that clicks, that is going to last, and that is our attitude every time we enter into a friendship, I think that's going to lead us into a lot more potentially not as satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a fair point.
Mm.
Definitely. Mm. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Friendships, they require vulnerability.
Mm. Which is such a big word that gets thrown around.
It is.
It gets thrown around so much.
Yeah.
And it's not that vulnerable space. I think we see it like with a lot of media and things like that. It's very prolific that we should be sharing that being brave, part of being brave is to expose the most vulnerable parts of you, which there's a time and place for parts of you to be shared, but you don't have to share every element of you with anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
That's not how relationships are meant to be.
Mm.
And I think friendship is one of those things where we shouldn't expect to just be able to share the deepest parts of ourselves, nor should we expect others to do that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yep. Yeah, you're right. It's a word which is often sort of thrown around with a bit too much willingness today. And you know, well, it's important to be vulnerable. Yes, it is. But vulnerability always entails a level of trust.
Mm.
That when you share something which is vulnerable, you can trust the person that you're sharing it with to hold that vulnerability.
Mm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, and I guess what we're not saying here is that you can't become best friends down the track.
Mm.
I mean, that's not what we're saying. Only that it's not wise to straight away, despite the intense feelings, to sort of jump into to any serious sort of best friend relationship with you know, and entrust someone with these, you know, this vulnerability when that level of trust is not yet built.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. All right. So if this isn't ideal, and it's what someone may well ask, you know, if this isn't ideal, why do I feel compelled to see this friendship through?
Mm. Yeah. I think we have touched on this already. There is a joy to be found in any healthy relationship, friendship or otherwise. You can encounter someone that, you know, you only speak to in the one instance, but there is an incredible joy in that encounter. And I think that can leave, and that will leave, an impact. That's what we do to each other. We impact each other. But also, there is nothing wrong with identifying that there is something about someone that is attractive and that or intrigues us or we admire, or, you know, all those positive things, all those inspiring things. There's nothing wrong with seeing that in another person as well. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we then have to see that through as a relationship of some sort.
For sure, for sure. One of the cultural things that's cropped up, and it's remained with us for quite a long time, or maybe it hasn't, and I'm just sort of stuck in the, you know, a decade ago, but the YOLO,
right.
So you only live once, it has become a bit of an excuse for indulgence, whereas it should really be a motivation for goodness, right? So you only live once. Well, just, you know, just go for it, and you know, let the consequences be, you know, sort of let them be what they're going to be, and just go for it. And that's not generally, particularly when we're talking about relationships, that's not the best attitude to take, because you're dealing with two people who are looking to be vulnerable with one another, and haphazardness is never a good norm to include in such a relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I guess then, you know, for someone who does, like when we meet someone and we do initially, you know, click, and we leave, you know, say like one of those concerts or a youth initiative or something like that, and we feel as though this is someone we really should be best friends with for the rest of our lives. What do we do? Like, what do we do with that, actually?
Yep.
Because it's a good desire, right, to want to be in friendship with someone.
Yeah. I have this image in my brain right now of that Mr. Bean gif where he's like, you know, but not helpful.
So for those of you listening on the podcast, Padre just put his hand up like a stop sign.
No, we don't want to do that. That is not. It was just the image that flashed into my head was Mr. Bean. So
that's not going to work.
Sorry, Mr. Bean. That is not going to work. Not a good way to go. I suppose we just recognize that we're allowed to pursue a friendship at a pace that reflects the level of trust that sits between the two people. If there is an intensity of sort of, I really want to be friends with this person kind of thing going on, well, that's going to be there in, you know, if it's a friendship that's really got sort of potential, and if both people are committed to seeing where this can go, then we shouldn't be worried about how fast this thing has to travel. We should be able to commit to the friendship at a pace which reflects where both of us are at, rather than demanding that there's an immediate jump into friendship.
That what you said just then just made me think, because I mean, one of the things we do at Virtue Ministry is try to capture lies, and I just started to sort of think, perhaps one of the lies we buy into then when we do meet a person like that is that if I don't jump into this friendship, right into the deep of it in the here and now, then I will lose this friendship of this person who is meant to be my best friend for life.
Yeah.
Which is a huge pressure. Like
It isn't it?
It's a huge level of pressure to carry.
Exactly.
And like you said, like if this is a friendship that is going to make it through the distance, then we don't need to rush it. It doesn't need to have...
Exactly.
That level of intensity.
That's right. And you know, having a shared experience, which is, you know, which is awesome and very, you know, often very, very positive, it doesn't bind us. Mm. You know, by virtue of that experience, we've not made some kind of implicit commitment. Mm. You know, it's even if we feel otherwise, we haven't made a commitment to be the BFF. Mm. You know, it's so it's okay to take it at a pace which is, as I say, reflective of where we're at.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
And so I guess in the practicals then, it's just simply about, you know, not necessarily having to dive in with,
yeah, yeah,
I need to do this with that person next, yeah, or we need to, you know, this, that and the other, but
yeah,
just,
yeah,
take a deep breath.
That's it. It's kind of, it's the getting to know you phase of a friendship.
Mm.
It's the getting to know who you've got in front of you,
mm,
and them getting to know you and making decisions based off of that as to, you know, is this someone that I feel comfortable trusting deeper parts of myself with.
Mm. Not just the musical interests that we, yeah, have.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess to sort of wrap it up then, there is a lot of joy and a lot of goodness to be found in friendships and to be found in all forms of relationships of people that we might encounter. But not every one of those encounters needs to turn into a best friend for life.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's episode. If you enjoyed it and found it helpful, please rate our podcast and share it with someone. That just might help someone else find this podcast too. So that we can best serve you, we want to get to know you. Let us know your thoughts, comments, and questions either by joining the Living Fullness Facebook group at Virtue Ministry or our Instagram page, also at Virtue Ministry. We'll catch you again on Wednesday next week for a new episode on Living Fullness. Until then, know of our love and prayers.